today I'm going to be telling you a few stories. And the first one starts with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. And he was a religious leader in the 18th century. And the story starts with a time when his kids were ready to get married. So he hired a matchmaker, and this matchmaker would come to him every morning with a new match. And in return for that, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak would pay him 5 rubles. So today that would be about $1. So he comes every morning, he gives a match, and the guy gets $1 back. And, you know, time after time, this guy keeps on giving matches, but they don't work out. His son says, you know, the person's too tall, they're too short, they talk too much, they don't talk enough. So the matchmaker realizes maybe I'm not the right person for the job. And he just stops coming to Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. And after a while, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak realizes that he's not coming anymore. And he approaches him and he says, you know, what's going on? Is it that I'm not paying you enough? Why aren't you coming to me with new matches? And the matchmaker says, you know, to be honest, I'm kind of embarrassed. All these matches that I'm giving you, they're not panning out. They're not really working. So I realized, you know, what's the point? You're paying me, and it feels like you're paying me for nothing. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says in response to him, no, you don't understand. What you're doing is actually even more beneficial than what any other matchmaker could do. He explains to him that before every baby is born, 40 days before a baby enters this world, their soulmate is announced in heaven, the name of their soulmate. And throughout their life, when they do the soul or the person, when they do good deeds or when they do mitzvot, an angel is created in honor of that mitzvah. But sometimes when people do good deeds and they don't have the right intention, so for example, if I give a tzedakah, if I give charity, and my intention is that, oh, you know, I'm going to get such big recognition for this, I'm going to get so much awards, whatever. If I don't have the right intention, there is an angel that's created, but instead of being a perfect angel, it has a deformity. So sometimes these angels are deaf, and when the name of the soulmate is announced, they don't hear the right name. So every morning that this person lives, instead of announcing the right name, they announce a different name. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak continues to explain that first you have to go through all these different names that aren't the soulmate, and once all those names have been tried out in this world, that's when the person is finally ready to meet their soulmate. So he explains to the matchmaker, what you were doing was making sure that my children were meeting all these different people that their angels mistakenly announced so that they can eventually meet their actual soulmate. So this guy then realizes, you know, like there is a purpose to what I'm doing. And he continues to look for a match with a new excitement. And what I learned from this is that sometimes we see ourselves and we think we're doing, you know, not such a good job. We think we're doing the wrong thing because we have this certain goal in mind that we think is the right goal and we want to reach there. But sometimes when you mess up, you reach a different goal that you didn't expect, and that can even sometimes be greater than your original goal. Okay, so the second story that I want to talk about is not about a rabbi, but about a man from Okop, which is the birthplace of the Baal Shem Tov. Now, the Baal Shem Tov was known for being very merciful on everyone, basically. And he would always try to do what's best for everyone else. So this guy that's from this town of Akob, his name is Yoel. And Yoel was very learned. He studied every day Torah. He did every mitzvah or every good deed that he could. And one day he decided, I'm going to fulfill the commandment to write a Sefer Torah. And he hired a scribe. It was the most expensive scribe, but he didn't care. He just wanted to invest as much money as he could in this project. And finally, when the Torah was finished, he had a big party with all the honorable people in the town, and he invited all the honorable people. Now, someone who he didn't invite was Beryl, the water carrier. Now, Beryl was a very simple man. He went to synagogue every morning, but he didn't really study a lot. The only thing that he did was every morning he would finish the whole book of Tehillim. He would finish the whole book of Psalms. Now, Beryl thought, you know, maybe I'm not the biggest religious man, but I still think, you know, this is a big deal to go to this event, so I'm going to go anyways. So Beryl walks in and he sees a seat empty and he decides to sit in it. And what Beryl didn't realize is that seat was meant for the biggest rabbi in town. So Yoel comes up to Beryl and he tells him, you really think that you can come here and sit in this chair? You're not even invited. Leave. So Beryl's really embarrassed, and he walks home, and he doesn't, he realizes, you know, maybe that was good for me, maybe I'm not actually that learned, whatever. So Yael continues with his party, and he says, thank you everyone for coming. He has this big speech, and he explains how hard he worked for this Torah, how he invested so much money, and he's so happy that all these people could come. Later that night, when Yael's going to sleep, he's so proud of himself. He's thinking about his speech, and he thanks God for making sure that he didn't mess it up, and he falls into a dream. So in the dream, he finds himself in this desert, and he sees a little hut. So he decides to walk in the dream. He decides to walk into the hut, and he sees a lot of men with robes, and he hears them saying, there's a case brought against Yael from Okop, and this case is brought by King David. And Yael is very confused. He doesn't understand, first of all, why is there a case against him? Second of all, it's from King David. Like, that's a pretty big deal. So he continues to hear what they're saying, and they say the claim is that Yael is desecrating the book of Tehillim, the book of Psalms. And he thinks to himself, and he doesn't understand. He just had a party for a Sefer Torah that he finished. He's been learning all his life. He doesn't understand what he could possibly do wrong. So King David comes to the court, and he says, yes, this man spoke very harshly to Beryl. And Beryl is one of the holiest men in Akop. And he reads Tehillim every morning. He loves it and appreciates it. So this man, Yael, deserves to be put to death. And Yael is in shock. He doesn't know what to do. He didn't even realize that Beryl was that holy of a person. He didn't realize that his words could have such an effect. But then he sees the Baal Shem Tov in the court. And the Baal Shem Tov says, no, no, no. He shouldn't die. Why should he die? And he says, you know, like, if he dies now, then there will be no way that anyone will know that, first of all, that the Tehillim should be that appreciated, that the Psalm should be that appreciated, or why even Yael died. So Yael wakes up, and he realizes that that decree was passed on from the Baal Shem Tov, that he doesn't deserve to die, but he now knows that he needs to make sure, first of all, to make amends with Beryl, and to, second of all, really appreciate Tehillim and Psalms. So that morning, he runs to the synagogue that Beryl prays at, which is a little, you know, it's not that expensive. It's not, they don't really pay a lot of money to fix anything. It has not really like windows. It's just a little shack. And he finds him, and he says, Beryl, you know, I'm really, really sorry for embarrassing you like that. I would love for you to come to my house. And I don't know what I can do. And Beryl looks at him, and he says, it's okay. Just come and read Tehillim with me. Come and read Psalms with me. And so from then on, Yael prays with Beryl at that synagogue, and he reads Tehillim and he reads Psalms every morning. So without actually like understanding the story, first of all, it's just very inspiring. Like that every little thing that you do, it really has an effect from the good and from the bad. So from the good would be like when Beryl reads Tehillim or reads Psalms every morning, it really makes him a holier person. But also, when Yael said something very rude to Beryl, it had a very big effect that it could even endanger his life. So what I think, at least what I took away from this, is that you never know what your little actions can do for the good and for the bad. So just to watch and make sure that you are very meticulous about what you're doing. And then the last story that I wanted to talk to you about is about Rav Moshe Lev of Sasov. And Rav Moshe Lev was a very holy person, and what he would spend his whole life doing is making sure that no one was unjustly in jail. So he would go travel from city to city, and if he heard that someone was in jail, he would bail them out. So whether they were in jail because they couldn't pay their rent on time, or because someone mistakenly accused them of something, he would make sure to take them out. And when Rav Moshe Lev was on his deathbed, he was very hopeless, and not because he was dying, but because he realized, you know, I know I'm going to Gan Eden. I know I'm not going to go to Genom. I know I'm not going to go to hell. But that means that I can't fulfill this mitzvah. I can't fulfill this commandment anymore of returning people out of jail. I can't pay anyone's bail in Gan Eden. I can't pay anyone's bail in the world to come. So while he's thinking about this, and while he's feeling so hopeless about this, he realizes that there's only one thing he can do. So before he has any any process, like to think about this, he passes away. He dies, and he decides to go to Ganem. He decides to go to hell, and the angels that are in charge say, you know, this is a very great person. There's no way that he can enter hell with the fires still being on. So they decide to cool down the fires, and Rav Moshe Lev sees the angels, and the angels are like, you know, Rav Moshe Lev, first of all, what are you doing here? Second of all, there's souls here that need to have the fire. And he says, no, if there's souls here that have a minute of relief, then I'm staying here. And the angels say, no, that can't happen. We need to figure out some kind of compromise. And he says, okay, so how about I take all these souls up to Gan Eden? I take all these souls up to the world to come, and you can turn the fires back on after I leave. And the angels say, no, what are you talking about? You can't do that. And Rav Moshe Lev says, okay, how about you look at what I did throughout my life, and if I did the mitzvah perfectly of taking people out of jail, then you'll agree to it. And the angels say, okay, you know, they don't expect that everything could be perfect, that every time he heard that someone was in jail, he went to take them out. But after looking through all the actions that he did, they realized, you know, it really was perfect. He really took every opportunity. So that day, first of all, hell was cold that day. There was no fires. Second of all the souls that were sinners left with Rav Moshe Lev up to Gan Eden. And with this last story, what I took away from it is that sometimes we are so busy thinking about what I will gain from this good deed, but we don't realize that a good deed is a good deed because it will affect other people and it will help other people. So sometimes I think we just need to go for something that will help other people, not whether it's a good deed, whether it's a mitzvah, whether it will help us, but because it will help another person, that's what we need to focus on. And that's all. Thank you.